The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I am your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And the man behind the sound effects is at Agent underscore 70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody? In honor of anyone who's watching on the YouTube feed, in honor of my brand new audio setup, we're going to bless the mic and drop some rhymes. Yo, microphone check, 1, 2, what is this? The 5-foot assassin with the roughneck business. I float like gravity, never had a cavity, got more rhymes than the whiners got family. Rest in peace, Fife Dog. And of course, on the day that we do our final fitting tribute to Fife, we lose another giant in music. Rest in peace, Prince. Moment of silence. I'm going to applaud out. And we move on.
That was beautiful, man.
We do our best.
Did a lot better than I was going to attempt to do for a tribute.
We'll do more. Like the more, you know, like when Dirt and Roddy are on, and I just spoiled the fact that they're not on right now. But, you know, when they're on, they'll probably have some more tributes too.
Yeah. Roddy Cat's back on the work grind, and Dirt is handling some family business, so he may hop on later tonight. We'll see.
That's right.
But for now, you're stuck with the two of us. Make sure to go to our website, theclicknation.com. You can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and Comic Book Reviews. And while you're on theclicknation.com, you can follow us on our various social media websites. Just click on the appropriate icons on the homepage, and while you're doing that, make sure to subscribe to the newsletter. Just put your email address in the text field, click the sign up button, and you'll be on your way to receiving news updates from us. We're a part of the Cold Slither Podcast Network. Go to cspn.us, and also while you're there, check out all the other various podcasts on the CSPN. Use the hashtags Comic Book Chronicles and CBCron on your favorite social media websites. And remember, we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So before the show, we were discussing just how big of a comic book week this was, with so much fine comic book content to choose from.
Yeah, this is definitely the polar opposite of a few weeks back when we were kind of struggling to find good books to talk about.
Yeah, so I'm looking at your list of books read compared to mine, seeing at least what books we can both talk about. Since the crossover is almost over, why don't we start off with the Avengers standoff tie-in, and that would be Captain America, Sam Wilson, number 8.
Sure, let's do that. So this is one of the, if not the penultimate issue of the standoff crossover, because I believe this is the last one on their checklist.
For the Omega issue.
Exactly. Before the finale in the Omega issue. So basically we have a sort of the other half of the ending to, or how we get to the ending that was in All New, All Different Avengers last week.
And that would involve the heroes assembling, Avengers Assemble.
Absolutely.
And rejuvenated Captain America, and sort of Cap coming to terms with being back to his fighting prime, and how that affects the current Captain America, Sam Wilson.
Right. There's definitely going to be more to this. I don't think they're going to handle the entirety of the reappearance of Steve Rogers in his in full fighting form, and the impact that's going to have on Sam Wilson. I don't think they're going to handle that in just one page. That's going to be, I think, an ongoing thing. But in this book, they handle it pretty succinctly. You know, obviously they don't have much time to think about it, because they are still in the middle of what is the town in Connecticut called again? It just slipped.
Stamford?
No.
Pleasant Hill.
Pleasant Hill. I wanted to say Silent Hill, but I knew that was wrong. That's a video game. Pleasant Hill. So they're still stuck in the middle of Pleasant Hill where the villains are running rampant. The villains who had been previously transformed by Kobik into, you know, harmless everyday citizens living their lives, you know, innocent and carefree. Now they're running rampant. And there's a couple of nice callbacks in here in terms of the villains that that appear. Definitely one of the groups in here that are on, I believe, either roller skates or rollerblades. They definitely call back to that's from an era of Captain America from like the late 80s, early 90s. I think Blue Streak is in there, and it's pretty funny.
Named after a very popular movie from a couple of years ago.
Yes, definitely, definitely. I think they renamed this group the Fast Five. That was pretty funny. What did you think of the villain's plot to try to recapture or capture Kobik? Because Kobik has gone rogue, and you know, Zemo is trying to incorporate Kobik into his plan.
I like that with the, you know, all the villains having new identities and at Pleasant Hill, they can use this as a tool to reintroduce villains and make it sort of like in. Make them surprises, like we see with one popular villain who joins Zemo's ranks.
And right, who I guess had not been...
doesn't really have any association with Hydra or Zemo ever in the past.
Right, but this particular character, I guess, has not been around lately. So this is, you know, it's almost like a real explanation as to where all these villains go or have been for the last couple of months.
I thought this villain was dead also.
Listen, I think this particular villain's recent history is very, very complicated. Let's just put it this way. If I recall correctly, this villain's children found a way to resurrect him or her. We'll keep it so vague.
Yeah. Good job.
So, but it was, you know, I got a kick out of the actual plot to try to capture Kobik. I laughed. I can't lie.
And the standoff has been kind of so-so for me as far as I like the bringing the, you know, Captain America, Steve Rogers being reintroduced is cool. But as far as like the villains, they have a right to be upset about the being brainwashed into having these happy thoughts put in their minds. But besides them getting their right minds back and then terrorizing Pleasant Hill, they haven't really done, I feel like they haven't done much. They took over Town Hall, I guess, and Zemo wants Kobik, but besides that, they haven't really done anything, in my opinion.
Well, I think we've sort of benefited from the fact that this crossover isn't lasting very long. You know, they really haven't shown, like you said, the villains doing much other than, you know, wrecking shop. And what we find out in this issue is that Zemo has a plan to, and it's kind of an old school villain plan, to embarrass the Avengers. So, you know, it's a simple plan. Yeah, we're going to broadcast their defeat to the world. And I got a real kick out of how old school that was. And I guess the villains are being compliant. They're falling in line with Zemo, or at least to a certain extent. They're falling in line, other than the Fast Five that we were referencing earlier.
I like the way Nick Spencer writes, but he almost writes everyone too witty.
Yeah, I get that. I definitely have not heard Zemo sound like this.
Yeah, I mean, it made it funny, but it seems out of character.
Right, definitely.
Like I said, everyone in Nick Spencer's Cap books has spoken in the same manner. Even the opening arc in Captain America, Sam Wilson with, was it Viper? Viper was the same way.
Sure.
Had a way with words and would make little funny puns here and there.
Right. Even the Winter Soldier, you kind of expect it from Falcon because, you know, he's obviously, you know, been alive this whole time. He hasn't been in cryogenic storage, only thawed out to kill people. Even the Winter Soldier is sort of quipping.
Yeah. But like I said, it's not that big a deal, but it's just something is very noticeable. And like I said, to have everyone speak the same way kind of takes away from the uniqueness of it.
Oh, definitely.
It feels like one of those, like, why are you complaining about good thing type deals? But I feel like it needs to be brought up.
Yeah, well, they come off as witty, and it does sound modern. Maybe that's just what they're trying to get at. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it does sound modern. I did like, there is one scene where Cap Steve Rogers, well, we'll call Cap Sam Wilson and Cap Steve Rogers, where Cap Steve Rogers doesn't quite recognize that he's been restored and doesn't realize his own strength.
Yeah.
And I got a kick out of that. I was like, oh, yeah, he would, you know, kind of overdo it the first time.
And looks like they were planting some seeds for the Thunderbolts launch that'll take place after this is over with Mach 7 making an appearance.
Definitely, definitely. They are definitely teasing where Thunderbolts is going, so or is where it's going to come from.
And then Steve saying Bucky needs to come out the shadows and they need to be partners again or be closer.
Yep.
So can't get more public than leading a Thunderbolts team.
Pretty much. I also liked, before we move on, I like that at the beginning of the issue, Humphreys does a callback to the end of Bucky Cap's run as Cap when he surrenders himself to go on trial when Brubaker was still writing the book.
And actually, that you said Humphreys, but it meant Spencer.
Oh, Spencer, I apologize. For whatever reason, Humphreys is on my brain.
So what was the callback?
Well, Bucky mentions that towards the end of his Captain America run, he had to turn himself in to face trial for being an assassin on behalf of state enemies for decades. It was on the very first page, you know, like it was the exchange between him and Sam Wilson, because Sam was like, well, Steve Rogers is back. I guess this isn't how I thought it would end. So
I also need to point out, I like the art from Paul Renauld. I hope that's how you pronounce his last name. It was very clean. It matched the style of the artist that did the Alpha issue of Avengers Standoff, and who was also going to be launching Captain America, Steve Rogers. I think it's Jesus Saez, something
right,
like that.
Right, Paul Renault.
And I think the colorist, whoever, is it Frank Martin, or let me see if I can pull up who the colorist was. I think that's what the consistency.
Actually, wait. You know what? I think Paul Renault is doing the art, the coloring as well. There's only, in terms of the the credits page has a colorist on only three pages.
Okay.
So yeah, it looks like Renault. Yeah.
Very good.
Yep.
As Captain America, Sam Wilson, number 8.
Yeah, it's actually, you know what? It's surprisingly entertaining. At least, you know, I feel like as weird as it sounds, they did this as organically as possible, even though it involved a cosmic cube. You know, they did it as organically as possible, even though it involved a cosmic cube.
I'm wondering how is this going to be resolved? Is Cobit joint going to be a member of the Thunderbolts? Because I believe she was in the teaser images with them.
I doubt it. I mean, it's kind of tough to have that kind of not omnipotent, but very much nigh omnipotent power on a super team. Like, how, you know, what kind of balance does that bring to a team book, right? It's like, hey, why don't we call Kobik to fix this? Right?
Maybe that's what Bucky is keeping an eye on her for.
Maybe. That's a good point. I have not read any of the teaser material for Thunderbolt, so, you know, we'll see. That's actually something that now I'm curious about.
Okay. Let's jump to something you've read that I haven't yet. I guess we can stick with Nick Spencer with Astonishing Ant-Man number 7.
Sure. Let me pull this up, because this is a direct continuation of the story that we've been following along with Scott Lang kind of telling things in retrospect, because at the beginning of this relaunch, we find Scott Lang in jail, and we find and we're on our way to finding out exactly how he got there. So the story is a continuation of Scott trying to, you know, get his Ant-Man Security Solutions firm off the ground, and he runs into the power broker and some of the latest means that the power broker is using to enhance and grow the Hench app brand, and the Hench X brand. That's the application that people can download to hire henchmen. So now we've got people who are becoming or gaining super villainy powers from the power broker through this app. And so, spoiler alert, just in case anyone has not been reading this, Scott's daughter Cassie has decided to take up the power broker on an offer to you know to regain some super abilities in exchange for you know helping the power broker you know deal in, do some kind of corporate espionage and take out Cross Technologies. And if anyone remembers how Cross Technologies is related to Ant-Man, Darren Cross basically had Cassie cut open so that he could take, let me read the spoiler back, her Pym particle infused heart. So if you haven't read that part, you may want to go back and review that so that you can get up to speed, because now where we are is Scott Lang doing what he does best, which is hatch half-baked schemes to try to get what he needs and what he and reach a good outcome. So it's kind of funny. Without spoiling too much, it's a half-baked, half-thought-out plan.
A very perfect Scott Lang plan.
Definitely. That is the perfect Scott Lang plan. Mm-hmm. So if anyone's looking for a fun read, especially if you are a fan of the movie, if you are looking for something that doesn't always involve like gigantic superheroics, there's definitely a lot of relationship stuff going on in this book. But if you're looking for something that's a fun read, pick this book up and give it a shot.
All right. Let me pick one from my list now.
Well, tell us your thoughts on Power Man and Iron Fist number 3, because I read that also.
I enjoyed it a lot. This is like the new romance comic for 2016, and I just love the voice that David Walker gives to Power Man and Iron Fist, Luke Cage and Danny Rand. It involves them trying to get to the bottom of this, just how powerful is the Soul Stone.
The Super Soul Stone.
Super Soul Stone. I knew I was going to mess that name up. Say it for me one more time.
The Super Soul Stone.
Super Soul Stone.
And there's a reason why David Walker named it that, because it's supposed to not evoke fear. It's supposed to kind of evoke a smirk, and you're not supposed to react to how powerful this item actually can be. You're supposed to think and hear, you know, when you hear Super Soulstone, you're like, what?
Which is funny because, as you mentioned, fear, it takes its power. It can only, I guess, siphon off of someone who has fear, right?
Well, what it is someone who is weak.
Yeah, weak. There you go.
Right. It's someone who's weak. Only the weak can actually harness the power of the Super Soul Stone.
And then it possesses them.
Correct. And what's funny about this is that, you know, there's definitely some meta messaging going on in David Walker's writing. You know, the Power Man and Iron Fist duo actually do what every Marvel superhero does when they run across magic. They go consult Doctor Strange. And what happens when they go to consult Doctor Strange? Doctor Strange is like, I've never heard of such a thing. And
so it must not be important if I haven't heard.
Exactly. Not knowing and it was funny that the way the story ended up unfolding was that it was pretty much exactly what Doctor Strange explained to them as being maybe not beneath Doctor Strange's notice, but not quite on Doctor Strange's level of magic practice.
Street magic.
Exactly. That's exactly the term that Doctor Strange used, and that's exactly the magic that had been invoked to create this particular artifact.
What's the name of the guy that they went after they left Doctor Strange to get advice on it? Senor
Magico.
Is it Magico?
Yes.
I hope he stays around as a supporting character.
Senor Magico, wannabe master of mystic arts.
Him and the two guys that have been trailing Luke and Danny for Tombstone.
Yeah.
Honestly, like a backup story with just those two guys.
Yeah, they're really good. You know, what I like about this book, honestly, is, like you said, it's the bromance, it's the Power Man voice. What I'm not so keen on is the Iron Fist voice, sort of. Only because I'm used to, you know what it is? I'm used to the Fraction and Brubaker, you know, immortal Iron Fist, you know, like where he's just a little bit more serious.
Yeah, he's a lot more laid back surfer type here.
Right. And obviously, you know, people sort of shift into character when, you know, they're playing off of someone, right? And so, you know, if Danny Rand is sort of leading the Immortal Weapons, he takes on a certain persona. But when he's hanging out with his buddy Luke Cage, he can kind of fall back into like a rhythm, you know, into this kind of familiar role with this real like brotherly relationship that they have.
Fiddle faddle.
Yes. And with the fiddle faddle. Always with the fiddle faddle.
So. Oh,
and by the way, just to wrap up on this, we get to, you know, we the duo finally find out that their former secretary has been playing them. And at the end of the issue, they're caught in a bind and find themselves teaming up with an unlikely teammate, more so an unlikely employer.
Yes.
Because they are the heroes for hire, after all.
As this person states to them, you're the heroes for hire. I'm hiring you.
Exactly. Exactly. So without spoiling too much, that's where we end up at the end of this issue. This was a good, you know, solid story. I liked the way the story moved along. I liked the explanation of the Super Soul Stone. I actually thought that was a very good backstory, and I liked that it involved a little bit of I don't know if you're familiar with Neil Gaiman's prose work.
No.
But you know what I'm referring to, right?
No.
Anansi and the spider. Oh. Right. Right. And that kind of weaved in a little bit without spoiling again too much.
Well, isn't that just Egyptian mythology?
Right, but for most comic readers, that's where they last ran across that particular name, I think. Although it might be in other places. I leave it for the viewers and the listeners of the Comic Book Chronicles to tell me other places where this has come up, but that's the last place I saw it.
Okay.
All the American God stuff.
Let me jump to a series that ended. That was Hook number 6.
That's the last issue?
Yes.
Okay.
Unless it comes back as another volume, which a couple of Millar's books will be doing. But it's the showdown, Hook and his mother taking on Tom Sawyer and another like genetically enhanced super warrior woman. I'm not sure if she was a woman of, you know, fable stories like Hook, Tom Sawyer, and Huckleberry Finn or not, but they fought each other. Of course, Hook and his mother won. The evil scientist that I guess sort of created Huck and his mother vows that, you know, he may be stopped now, but given time, he'll just start back up again, creating these super enhanced soldiers. But Huck's mom has a special power where she can influence people by touching them and telling them what to do. So she uses his power against the guy and sets him off on the evil scientist on his merry way. Huck and his mother go back to his small town and get back to his goodwill list of helping neighbors by like painting fences or uprooting trees that are gone old that need to be removed, et cetera, et cetera. So sort of a nice little happy ending from Mark Millar and Rafael Albuquerque. Enjoyed Albuquerque's art, of course, on this. Was very nice throughout the whole series, in fact. Yeah, and that's about it. I think the next project from Millar that we coming out, I believe this summer, is his project with Greg Capullo. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Once news of that is released, we'll have it up on theclicknation.com, of course, and we'll be reviewing the issues that they are released as well.
Of course. I'm glad to hear that you liked the last issue. I'm going to have to read this. I think I'm maybe an issue or two. I don't know if I'm completely caught up. I may need to read issue 5. But I'm glad that this turned out to be a nice little 6-issue story.
Yeah, it makes for an easy read too.
Sure. All right. How about, do you want to cover some DC stuff or do you want to see if Dirt gets on?
Yeah, we can do DC.
All right. So let's talk about, I've read, but didn't really read that carefully, Superman American Alien number 6, but I have the gist of what happened. And, you know, this is just very quickly, I can set up the book and you can knock the pins down. So the book starts with Clark's Smallville friends coming to visit him in Metropolis. But these are friends who know that he's Superman.
Exactly how many people from back home know that he's Superman? It doesn't seem to be much of a secret.
Back in the day, it used to just be Ma and Pa Kent. And, you know, depending on which continuity had them both alive. And Lana Lang. So I'm not sure, you know, what kind of story Landis is trying to weave here that has all these people knowing who Superman is.
Like I said, it's just a story, and just sort of him showing the two friends around and them sort of being, as guys do, sort of nudging and teasing each other, cracking jokes. Sure. On, you know, the big wig Superman, big timer now, and how he's changed or hasn't changed from his days as a kid in Smallville.
Sure. Tim, you may want to check the plug on your mic and your headphones. You're coming in like you're underwater.
Oh, testing. Still underwater?
Still underwater.
Let's see. How about now?
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice. So there's a couple things that happen in this book that I can recall, and I'm flipping through our review copy now. Basically, there's some interpersonal stuff that goes on between Pete, one of Superman's closest friends from Smallville, and I forget the name of the other gentleman, the other guest from Smallville that's coming to visit. But basically, they're exposed to Clark's big city life, and they go to a party, and you know, there's some words exchanged, some thoughts on how Clark is spending or using his gifts and his powers. And, you know, basically, Clark kind of, goes off a little bit and, decides to, leave Earth's atmosphere and happens to run into who I thought was a surprising guest star. And I won't go any further. Won't spoil it. Tim, you're not coming in. Check. And we've got dead space. Dead air. All right. So I've gotten to the point in Superman American Alien number 6 where there is a surprise guest star. And at the end of the story, we have the revelation that the Clark Kent in this miniseries has learned quite a bit about who he is in this issue. And that is the crux of the issue. And while Tim is getting his audio feed back up and running, I'm going to move to a book that Tim hasn't read, so we can save some of the stuff we have both read. I'm going to jump to Silk number 7, which is a continuation, the next chapter of the Spider-Women crossover between Silk, Spider-Woman, and Spider-Gwen. So we have in this issue what happened to Cindy Moon when she basically abandoned Spider-Gwen and Spider-Woman to their own devices in the search for her family, or at least the version of her family on Earth 65, Spider-Gwen's Earth. Little does she know that her counterpart on this Earth is basically a supervillain. And, you know, she finds herself, as the double of the supervillain, finding out that because of her supervillainess, she's not, welcome in her family's home. She's basically estranged from them, although her brother still has, a connection to the Cindy Moon of Earth 65. We also find out that, there are some protocols in place in case there's, a doppelganger that tries to access some of the evil Cindy Moon's computers, which is kind of interesting. We also meet the Dr. Octopus, the Otto Octavius of Earth 65. I'm not 100% sure if this character has been around in Spider-Gwen yet, but what we see is that this version of Otto Octavius is fairly unique in terms of how the octopus part manifests itself. So, you know, I give, who is the writer on this?
Hello.
Yes. You are back above water. You're breathing oxygen.
Yay. I have
nice.
To
be. Nice. What'd you have to do? Just so that we know for future reference.
I didn't do anything really. I've been replugging in the headset.
Gotcha. Just so that, we all know that none of us are immune to the Google Plus Hangouts gremlins. It usually happens to Roddy Cat, but this time it happens to Tim.
So, yeah, finish up your Silk.
Yeah, just so very quickly on Silk. This, you know, the crossover is a lot of fun. Like I said, we're exploring the Earth 65 version of Cindy Moon, and Robbie Thompson Thompson, who is the writer on this, came up with a pretty unique take on Dr. Octopus. So I don't know if this, like I said, I don't know if this has appeared in the Spider-Gwen series yet. I don't believe so. I've been reading it, and I don't recall Dr. Octopus appearing like this. So this is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. This is part of Spider-Woman, right?
Yes. Yes. We are 3 chapters into the 8-issue crossover. So we're about to make it through April with the final chapter of April's Spider-Woman books in Spider-Woman number 6. That's probably out next week.
Cool.
So this is, listen, I know that I'm probably one of the only holdouts that likes all like this particular part of the Spider-Man universe, but I have a lot of fun with this. I like these characters, and I don't believe that Silk can really hold her own book yet. I like that they're still, you know, developing the character, and if she's not able to maintain a book, they should try to incorporate her into Web Warriors. I like her bouncing off of some of the other spider characters, so I'd like to see her character continue on, even if she's not able to sustain her own solo title.
Yeah, I heard the sales haven't been great for Silk, so even if it did happen to go away, I hope the character sticks around.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's see. Extraordinary X-Men number 9.
Yeah, this was a great issue. And I'll preface everything I say about this by saying that this is the X-Men book to read. I officially dropped all new X-Men this past week.
And I'm actually started to enjoy it more, even though I didn't really care about the last like little filler issue with Doctor Strange. But
right,
stuff before that, I actually started enjoying more.
That's awesome.
I like it in the beginning. It wasn't captivating to me enough, but it's picked up the pace. But oh, yes, back to Extraordinary, though. This second part of their Apocalypse Wars crossover, and it shows what happened when the young X-Men team that Colossus took to the future, what happens to them, along with what happens to Colossus. So basically, they get separated from him, and then they have to go hit them being... But Glob, Anole.
Yeah, Glob, Herman, Anole, No Girl, and Martha.
I'm trying to figure out those last two. Are they just new characters as of Extraordinary X-Men? Or
no, they were there in New X-Men.
Were they in New X-Men, or were they in Wolverine and the X-Men?
I don't remember much of New X-Men. They definitely were there in Wolverine and the X-Men.
Okay. I guess either way.
Right.
And what's confusing to me is like there's different, it looked like it was different pocket worlds that they could travel between. So it's like the world just now separated like all these different planets, or
well, the way I thought they explained it, and I'm gonna hit the spoiler bell because this probably does tell a lot of the story that's in this. Basically, the crux of the story right now in this book is that the mutant race has basically lost its way in evolution, has been basically wiped out. And all of the other powered races have found a way to survive. And it's those races that have established these kind of remnants of the Earth that are floating along in these floating realms. And it's that and it's these groups that the 4 young X-Men have to negotiate with and work with and work around and fight as they're trying to survive. For as long as they have to until rescue comes. So that's the explanation that we get in the book, is that basically Apocalypse is like the last, pretty much the last mutant, even though it seems like there's a couple mutants still alive and kicking on his horseman team.
I like the nations that survived into the future. We see references to Wakandians, the Atlantis, mm-hmm. humans, the Stark Life, or whatever they called themselves. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, they call it the Omega World. I don't know if that's a shot at a Batman versus Superman, but yeah, it's the Atlanteans, the Inhumans, the Stark Self, the Wakandans, the Mystics, and the Moloids of all people.
Yeah, Mystics
are the survivors of basically the end of the Earth, and these are the realms, the sections that have survived.
I like that every time they do their time travel stories where you see like people in the future, you can sort of tell like what era of Marvel you're in. Like if this took place like 20 years ago or 15 years ago, it would be like nothing but X-Men stuff in the future. Now, since the Inhumans and magic are getting this big push, it's the Mystics and then humans and the Wakandans.
Yeah, the Wakandans too. Yeah, with Black Panther, you're getting a push. Yeah.
So that's just kind of cool thing to notice.
Absolutely, absolutely. I like that that these various groups, you know, were interacting in like weird ways with the mutants, and the way that the mutants kind of interacted with them as they were trying to survive.
Yeah, it was just fun watching their journey, trying to survive, and the transformations that they went through. And I like the little time, you know, we got to see how many days that passed from journey to journey until we got to do it, I guess, 365 days or a whole year, and just how much things had changed for them.
Well, you know what? At this point, they're no longer new X-Men. They've been surviving as X-Men for a year on their own.
Yeah.
So now that they've reappeared, they're much more powerful, much more seasoned, and you know, they're basically members of equal standing with the more senior X-Men that have come to try to rescue them.
Yep. Like I said, new X-Men.
Definitely. Well, they needed to fill, you know, they needed to kind of justify their existence and their right to stay in this book. You know, they're not just going to be the cannon fodder, right? So they had to kind of evolve them, literally evolve them and age them up so that they could be more convincing contributors, right?
And it's an easy way to age the characters.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. So I like this book. You know, this is definitely a sleeper candidate for Click of the Week because it's sort of a middle issue. You know, we don't have any sort of conclusion, or we're sort of pointed in a direction, but it's definitely a lot of explanation as to how, you know, what this particular aspect of the Apocalypse Wars is going to be.
Yep.
All right.
Good issue.
Let's see. How about, let me touch on something that you did not read that I'm sort of on the fence about maintaining on my reading list. It's definitely not on my pull list yet because it's still not selling me all the way. And the book that I'm referring to is Captain Marvel. What I like about Captain Marvel is the fact that it's not just Carol Danvers as the sole superpowered person in the book. Just to refresh everyone's memory, she is now the leader of Alpha Flight. Alpha Flight is a team that is now tasked with defending near-Earth space from the Alpha Flight satellite. And it's nice that she has other superpowered people to kind of bounce off of. Agent Brand, Abigail Brand, is also part of the command structure on the space station. And there's a lot of great interpersonal writing in the, you know, storytelling in the book. But I'm still not convinced that that the overall story is going anywhere. This is written by Michelle Fizikas and Tara Butters. These are the showrunners or the writers from Agent Carter. And it seems like this is just taking, at least in my opinion, taking a little too long to develop. It's definitely written for trade because it feels like this is going to be a 6-issue story. You know, we're going to get to some sort of finale at issue 6, and we're only at issue 4.
Okay. I haven't read this issue yet, but I've been pleasantly surprised how much I've enjoyed the series so far.
Well, what I like about it is the interpersonal stuff. What I don't like about it is the pacing.
Okay.
You know, there's definitely a few nice touches in the story, and the story does move along, but like I said, I can feel that this is still an issue or two away from a resolution.
Okay. Any other thoughts on it?
No, that's pretty much it. You know, I don't want to spoil too much.
Yeah. Jumping back to DC, I'm going to do Action Comics number 51, which is, I think, the third part of the Final Days of Superman story. Superman's gone to find his cousin, Kara, a.k.a. Supergirl, who he does find very early in the issue and breaks out of, I think it's a DEO facility that she's sort of like strapped to a table. But as he learns, once she's freed and they're in the air having a conversation, she was there on her own volition. I think that's the word.
Yes.
And basically saying how her powers were, I forget exactly why she had turned herself over to them. I think it had something to do with her powers, trying to get them under control.
Okay.
But Superman, of course, sort of confides in her that, you know, he's dying and he's going to leave the Fortress of Solitude over to her and all this good stuff. And this conversation is taking place at the Fortress of Solitude now.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue ends and they get a visitor to the fortress. And it, of course, coincides with what the fourth part of the story, which takes place in Superman Wonder Woman. So you can guess who the person that shows up is. And the only thing, the only negative I had with the issue was Peter Tomasi's voice for Supergirl.
Okay.
She talked very funny, and Hopefully,
you think it's inspired by the TV show?
I don't even know if it was that. What am I looking for? Action Comics. Give me a second here. I want to read some examples so everyone can see what I'm referring to. I wish I had pulled this up earlier because it's going to take a minute for my PC to load the PDF files. She talked very, like, there was no contractions or no I've or can'ts. It was all like, I did not need saving Cal.
Very formal.
Yeah, very, very formal. And like to the point where it stood out too much. Let's see.
Oh, I see. You're right. Are you all right? What is it, Cal? What is wrong?
Let's see. Skip a couple more pages here as I wait for the images to load.
No, I definitely see what you're referring to. So this is Peter Tomasi.
Yeah, right? He's doing the whole crossover, which has been good, and I still like this issue, but yeah, just the little nitpick of the very proper English from Supergirl, and it looked like it especially went crazy near the end when they're in the fortress, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of dialogue taking place back and forth between them.
Right.
Okay, yeah, here's the pay. I did not know Cal. Even that just sounds weird.
It's stilted. It's very stiff.
Yeah, very. Like, she sounded like a robot.
Yeah. I definitely see that.
I am not sure. I'm not sure about all this, Cal.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about all this. She's a teen, so she could talk like a teenager.
Right. It is a lot to take in.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, who says, so what is next? Right? People say, what's next?
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be President Bartlett to say what's next. So there's a West Wing reference for you, kiddies. All right. So let's see. What else can we cover real quick? Did you happen to read? Well, we were talking about Standoff before. Did we bring up New Avengers? Did anyone else read New Avengers?
I haven't got to it yet.
Okay. I won't spoil too much. This New Avengers is
Kaiju.
Yes, exactly. It's American Kaiju. That's just kind of like a passing thing in this issue. As much as we poked fun at it the last time, it doesn't play that big a role, but it may be a returning character. That's a mild spoiler, which means the character doesn't die.
Sorry.
So that being said, you know, we have some cool aftermath of the attack on AIM Island by S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, trying to arrest Roberto da Costa and AIM. The S.H.I.E.L.D. plant in the AIM team is revealed, although we already knew that, but it's revealed in the story. And, you know, the big robot in the kaiju battle is pretty quick. Not, you know, there's not much to it. There's some good writing in this. There's still plenty of humor. There's definitely a trend in some of the Avengers books right now where a lot of the stuff is on the funnier side. Al Ewing definitely takes advantage of that. There's a lot of quipping and lots of jokes being told in this. At the end of the story, we have a reappearance of a former teammate. We'll put it that way. Who's now, I guess, reappeared and rejoined the Avengers. And we also have a hint, and I'm going to hit the spoiler bell. We have a hint of where this book is going, because Roberto da Costa, in his conversation with this returning character, says, Operation Secret Avengers starts now.
So,
exactly.
Mind blown, people.
Right. It's a spoiler. It's a nice spoiler. Still doesn't say that much, but it's a cool little callback to one of the other Avengers books of recent vintage. So that was a cool little thing. I didn't spoil too much, like I said, by saying that. So
yeah, you haven't given me anything, so no worries.
All righty. Let's see. How about we talk about... Did you get to Thor? Mighty Thor number 6?
No, and I didn't really rush to it since it was like a fill-in issue.
Gotcha.
Fill-in art. I mean, it's on my pull list, so I have the physical to read. But
right. Well, you know what? Let me tell you. There's a tradition in the Simonson run to have some of these issues that kind of tell older tales of Asgard, right? And I think Jason Aaron picked up on that and has used older tales of Asgard to kind of weave how history is sort of repeating itself sometimes, and using the history of these, you know, admittedly ancient characters to try to inform how the story is going to play out now. So this story is basically told from Loki's point of view, and it's basically a retelling of a tale to Dario Agger of Roxxon, who is working together with this particular character and trying to figure out if he needs to shore up his offensive capabilities in case Malekith, who he's teamed with, decides to double cross him. And this particular character is telling a tale of young Thor and some of his worshippers, we'll put it that way. And a lot of it is entertaining. It's I know it's a fill-in issue, but it's definitely well done. It's obviously well written because it's Jason Aaron. And the art is, it may not be Dowderman. It's a different style, but it's still fluid and it's still entertaining. So I recommend it. Like I said, it may not necessarily be vital to read this issue to keep up with the story, but I think it will inform something that's going to be later on. So you may want to kind of file this one away in the memory banks.
Okay. What else we got here? I think I only had one more book.
Is that Joyride?
Yeah, Joyride from our friends over at Boom Studios, the creative team behind Hacktivist, Volumes 1 and 2. Marcus Toe, artist, and co-writers Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly. This sort of takes place, I guess you could say, in the future, where Earth is surrounded by like a big bubble to keep the evil aliens out and whatnot. And there's this sort of free spirit girl named Uma who wants to go out into space and actually see the stars, because no one on Earth has seen the stars because of everything being enclosed to them. So her and her friend, I'm not even sure how to pronounce the guy's name. It was like D-E-W-Y-D-D. It sounded like dude. Stupid. But they steal a ship and they go to the moon. This sort of security guard girl that's probably around the same age as they are goes after them to stop them. And of course gets pulled into the hijinks with them. It's like one of those like sort of, it's a fun sort of cosmic adventure book, and you can tell it's going to be involve a lot of them getting into trouble out in space and encountering all these different alien races and seeing if the grass really is greener on the other side. So,
gotcha.
Trying to get an interview with the creative team, but I haven't heard back from Boom yet.
Alrighty. I just wanted to mention that Marcus Toe was doing the art on New Avengers because, yes, you know, you got to pay the bills while you're doing your creator-owned stuff at Boom.
This is true. He's actually going to be one to rotate an artist on Nightwing in DC Rebirth.
Nice. Well, you know, one of the things I guess we'll have to bring up if we get him on the show is, some of the things that artists and writers have to do to keep the lights on while they're doing some creator-owned stuff.
Oh, yeah. How far in the past has this book been finished? Because something tells me that they probably had this done a while ago and finally just now getting it out.
Right.
Which is how he's being able to do this other art for New Avengers and Nightwing upcoming this summer.
Sure. All right. It looks like I have the grand total of one more book to talk about, and that is Uncanny Inhumans number 7. And it took me a while to get reacquainted with some of the characters that appear in this issue of Uncanny Inhumans. We basically have a police procedural told from the point of view of a group of Inhumans that have been tasked with finding out what happened in Black Bolt's quiet room, you know, and basically who broke the security while Enelux, the Inhuman Corporation, was having its annual meeting. So Noor, that's the police officer that gained Inhuman powers in the last volume of Inhumans, leads a small team to try to figure out, how security was breached. And there's a couple of great scenes in this. We have the return of a villain who was thought to be gone, but definitely is not. And we knew that to be the case. Honestly, if you're not into some of the intrigue and the relationships in Inhumans, I can definitely see why people might not be so enthusiastic about reading this. But I think Soul has done a very good job of creating relationships that the readers want to explore more. And there's still and some of these newer characters do pique some interest. Ultimately, for me, I'm still reading this book more so than all New Inhumans because I want to see where he takes Black Bolt, specifically Black Bolt and Medusa. So that's why I'm sort of reading this one more carefully than I am all New Inhumans.
Okay. Yeah, I read all New Inhumans over the weekend from last week. And I don't know, the whole Inhuman line, I'm just kind of waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. It doesn't seem like there's all that much going on. They try to inject some intrigue in the all-new Inhuman side, at least by sending them globe hop, you know, like country hopping, you know, as the Terrigen Cloud goes around the Earth. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that gives them new things to do, new people to see, and a reason to interact with various groups. So, you know, that's a cool reason for that book to be. But at the same time, it's almost repetitive. You know, you go to one country, you try to deal with the Inhuman population there, and like the subtle difference that group is, you know, that particular Inhuman group has in their experience as opposed to the next group. So it's very I guess that's a formula that I think only works for a few issues. I don't know how long that's going to last, which is why I'm sticking a little bit more closely to Uncanny Inhumans, because I want to see what happens to Black Bolt and Medusa. And now Uhura steps up in this issue as well.
Yeah, I heard he was doing some machinations.
Yeah. He's definitely got a little bit of Maximus the Mad in him too. You know, that part of the family probably didn't go all the way. You know, he probably inherited some of that. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I heard, I saw in the, which we'll get to in during the news section, the July 2016 solicits, I see Black Bolt, Maximus the Mad is slated to make his return.
Mm-hmm, nice. So,
was that everything?
Yep, that's it. That's it. You want to hold off on Clicks of the Week, or... You want to do it now while it's still fresh?
Yeah, I said we can do it now. I know what mine is, I believe.
All right.
Is going to be Extraordinary X-Men number 9, just because I enjoyed that time travel craziness so much.
Yeah. For me, it's between that and Power Man and Iron Fist number 3.
Those are my two options.
Yeah. And you know what? I think I'm going to second that. And even though it's just the tag team Comic Book Chronicles tonight, we're going to make it unanimous and go Extraordinary X-Men number 9.
Yeah.
There you go.
If you were watching the video feed and Dirt was here, this is where the cover would be displayed. But that's all good.
Right. It's all right.
Yeah. Cool.
All right.
Let's get to an ad read for tonight, which is going to be for Skull Candy, which makes the best headphones, earbuds, and gaming headsets, all with lifetime warranties. Skull Candy produces many types of audio accessories, including headphones, sports earbuds, Xbox gaming headsets, PlayStation gaming headsets, DJ headphones, iPod headphones, and MP3 headphones. And now, for listeners of Comic Book Chronicles, Skull Candy offers free standard shipping on your order. To help keep our podcast free, order from Skull Candy by going to cspn.us, that's cspn.us, then click on the Keep Our Podcast Free link. Click on the Skull Candy banner and then shop for high-quality audio accessories with free standard shipping. Skull Candy Audio through cspn.us. Do it today.
All right.
So let's see. In the cinematic news of the week, the Defenders adds Daredevil's Petrie and Ramirez as showrunners. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is renewed for season 4. I guess some big developments took place this past week for that.
Yes, I know that you're probably not up on what's going on with that, but there were some big developments on the show. I'm kind of getting a kick out of what I guess you could call solicits or the advertisements for each episode or each arc of episodes. They're giving them titles now, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
You know, I think next week's is Agent Down. So, you know, it's kind of cool that, you know, that the show is borrowing a little bit of the comic book style to give the title of each show a little bit more flair and more juice, so that we can get excited from week to week, because the TV season is winding down.
It is indeed. 4 more episodes. I got an email to hype in. 4 more episodes left for the season.
Right.
Let's see. Director Josh Boone completes a second New Mutants draft, credits Claremont and McLeod.
All right, so I guess he's going to be using a lot of the story concepts from the first arc of New Mutants.
Yep. Hopefully that movie actually happens. One Life to Live's Laura Harrier joins Spider-Man Homecoming.
Right, so according to the rap, she's going to play a significant role, but we don't have any other details. So I wonder if they're recasting Gwen Stacy and Mary Jane Watson.
And more Spider-Man Homecoming news as they also add Tony Revolori from Grand Budapest Hotel.
Hmm.
He would be part of Peter Parker's high school crowd, but isn't a villain.
So basically they're saying he's not Harry Osborn.
he's a random kid. Michael Keaton reportedly is out as far as being the villain in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Right, that's an update to the story that we're actually looking at right now. So earlier in the week, there were rumors that he was in, but something that just dropped earlier today said that he may be out. So we'll see. This is obviously a fluid and developing story.
J.K. Simmons talks role as Commissioner Gordon in Zack Snyder's Justice League Part 1.
Okay.
Finn Jones, supposedly, I guess there's first images of Finn Jones as Danny Rand.
Yeah, he's standing on the streets of New York in bare feet, definitely wearing kind of Himalayan sweaters and whatnot, if you looked at any of the images. Now I'm going to be walking around the streets of New York looking for the Iron Fist shoot. I did happen upon the Luke Cage locations, but didn't see any filming going on. But hopefully I can find Iron Fist somewhere in the city.
This is one of those times where I actually haven't seen any of the images. So whenever I finally do look, it'll be my first time.
All right.
William Dafoe joins the cast of Justice League in a mysterious new role.
Mysterious new role.
New posters for the film Keanu from Key and Peele parodies Captain America Civil War.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I got a kick out of that particular image. I don't know if you saw it.
I did.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
And there's a rumor that X-23 could make her live action debut in Wolverine 3.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea for them because as we've heard, pretty consistently actually from Hugh Jackman that this is his last Wolverine movie. He's not looking to do any more, so it would behoove Fox to try to continue the franchise somehow.
All right. And hey, might as well introduce her into their cinematic universe.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
There were the 2010 or the July 2016 solicits for all the companies. There's a report, and now in comic book news, there's a report that DC Rebirth storylines will all interconnect for a span of 2 years. What do you think of that? You're muted.
I know I'm muted because what I'm trying to do is not broadcast the unboxing that I'm about to pop on, that I'm about to do for the audience. So I see that we're in our comic book news, and while we're doing that, I did not want to completely broadcast this unboxing. I know we like to do this with Roddy Cat, but I know what's in this. It's not a mystery.
But, okay, well, while you can go back to muting yourself while you go through the news.
No problem.
The writer and co-creator of Rat Queens, Curtis Weeby, puts Rat Queens on hiatus, which sucks. I actually kind of feel bad I've fallen so far behind on Rat Queens. But after the co-creator artist, Upchill Rocks, I forget exactly his full name, but once he left the project, my enthusiasm kind of went away for it.
Right.
Just because I enjoyed his art so much. And I think he actually lives in Georgia.
Okay.
But so yeah, hopefully Rat Queens returns one day, but something tells me this is one of those things where with a lot of Image titles, it kind of might just mysteriously just never finish. Greg Pak created a ebook on crowdfunding tips for Kickstarter called Kickstarter Secrets, which I backed.
I did see that. I did see that you backed it. I mean, I guess I'll do it too.
It's only $12,
and you
it's
get
just
a copy with it.
It's just a PDF.
Okay.
I mean, if you just want just the PDF of his Kickstarter tips, which I figure, hey, there's crowdsourcing tips in there. If ever I need to do a crowdsourcing, which I'll probably eventually do for the website, either on Patreon or Kickstarter, at least I'll have reference materials.
Definitely, definitely. Something to at least, my understanding is that it provides a framework for what you need to do, what you need to have prepared before you go into a Kickstarter or a crowdfunded project.
Yeah. And this is like, this is the third Kickstarter I've backed for Greg. So I like his work. There's other funding levels if you want to go beyond just the PDF. Like if you donate, you know, $20 or more, you can get like copies of his previous books he's released on Kickstarter, like the Code Monkey Saves the World and The Princess Who Saved Me, I think is another one.
Right.
So you have choices.
Okay. I'll take a look.
Is the unboxing done or?
Yes.
Okay.
I wanted to show you that the Marvel Legends Captain America Civil War figures have come out. I pre-ordered on a certain website, and this is the Marvel Legends Black Panther. Yeah.
Focus on you.
Yeah, this is the Marvel Legends Black Panther. The Build-A-Figure is, spoiler alert, a figure that grows very large. I think we've already talked about it, but just in case. So yeah, this is the Black Panther. It's pretty cool. It is pretty, pretty cool. It's a sweet sculpt. It's got the alternate T'Challa head. It's the whole set. So of there's five figures in the set. There is a Nuke. I don't know if you're familiar with the character from Born Again and from other various things.
How about, I didn't know that Nuke, I guess, it appeared in the Jessica Jones season one.
Yes.
I didn't know that. He's the cop, right?
Yes.
I did not know that.
That's him. That's him. I mean, I don't think they're going to. I mean, they sort of incorporated Nuke, the whole pill thing. So okay. That's definitely part of the character.
I gotta finish it. So
yeah, I was about to say I won't spoil too much. This is the character that no one's going to buy. This is Red Guardian. This is the Captain America of Russia, or their version, Red Guardian. So, but you know, if you want to build the character that grows, you gotta have that. So there is a Captain America. There is an Iron Man version. Obviously, there's always an Iron Man.
You bought all those?
Yes. Yeah, because I wanted to get the Black Panther, and unfortunately, that's going to be a hard character to get. And I wanted to get a couple of these characters. This is just kind of a repaint Captain America. I'm just probably going to give this one away as a gift. Same thing with the Iron Man, probably, after I take out the
book. Why that one?
Because I already have it's a repaint of the Age of Ultron version.
Okay.
And finally, there is a version of Nick Fury. Old school OG Nick Fury with there's an alternate head. I think it's a callback to is it Dirk Anger? It's a character from Next Wave. So too bad Roddy Cat's not here to take a look at that and get a kick out of that. But yeah, I also wanted a current Nick Fury. Although I do have the original Marvel Legends Nick Fury. So yeah, it stinks that you kind of have to get figures that you don't really want just because you want to get one or two figures or three figures out of a set and get the Build-A-Figure at the same time that you want. So, what are you going to do, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Yeah, no, I didn't want, what's funny is that you probably spend a couple extra bucks now, but it comes back as breaking even if you think about all the times and all the time and the gas that you spend driving to Toys R Us looking for these things, if you're just hunting for one or two. So, yeah, I'm pretty jazzed to get the Black Panther. So, it's pretty cool.
All right. Back to the news. Elite Stormtrooper designs are coming to Marvel's Star Wars comic.
Cool. So we're going to have like Star Wars seal, Stormtrooper seals, Stormtrooper Green Berets, Stormtrooper Para Rescue, and Stormtrooper Force Recon. I think I covered all four branches. So
So this will take place in the next story arc, issue 21, The Last Flight of Harbinger. So wait. Is this taking place in the past still, or is this the future or the present? If there are new stormtroopers that we haven't never seen before in the movies, like in Return of the Jedi or whatnot.
I think this is an offshoot of Jedi and Force Awakens, where we start to see different types of stormtroopers, some of them wielding different weapons. So, these are the elite. Okay. Maybe these are the guys that can shoot. So there's only a few of them.
Hmm. In comic book award news, there was a record number of women nominated for the 2016 Eisner Awards.
Cool. Congratulations.
So, you can go to, I think, the San Diego Comic-Con website, comic-con.com, I think has it. Hopefully, that's the actual address. Marvel announces new titles for the 2016 holidays and box office. So it's the latest graphic novel collection set, mix of old and new from Star Wars, omnibuses, and James Patterson, George Romero work.
Okay. Wow, they're actually going to do a Deadly Hands of Kung Fu omnibus. That's going to be huge.
Something that interests Agent 70.
Absolutely. That's going to be huge. That's going to be, that, listen, that's going to be huge for so many people who are my age and older who grew up with that book, and especially like members of the hip hop community that that show up to these the hip hop and comics panels that cite to that series as a huge influence on their writing and their fandom. So that's definitely something that has been in demand for a little while now.
Vertigo restructured, taking place where their longtime editor Shelley Bond, who was the vice president and executive editor, was let go. And now all the Vertigo editors remaining will be reporting to Jim Lee and Dan DiDio.
Wow. So then
that dropped last night, sort of like
a mini bombshell.
Yeah, mini bombshell.
Wow. I was about to say we don't have a bomb exploding sound effect.
I'm surprised there isn't one on there.
Yeah.
I feel like there should be.
It would be like Funkmaster Flex.
Yeah. every second. So stay tuned for that. So as Vertigo's has lost ground to Image as far as being like the sort of independent publisher.
Right.
And they've been sort of trying to they've been trying to undergo different changes for the last like decade or so to gain back ground, but hasn't worked yet. But there are good books at Vertigo right now with Sheriff of Babylon and Unfollow.
Sure. Those are the two big ones right now.
Mm-hmm. Scotty Young departs Rocket, Raccoon, and Groot.
Right. I was about to say that's kind of a surprise, but
he's got another Marvel secret project he's working on that I guess is probably related to the little Marvel type covers he does.
Sure.
So stay tuned for that. DC Comics reaches new deal for ebook distribution worldwide.
Okay.
With Trajectory, I believe it's called. Yeah, Trajectory Inc., the leading global network for ebook distribution and book discovery. So it'll reach global ebook retailers and libraries in North America and eventually Europe, Asia, South America, and additional international markets.
Oh, wow. So Trajectory has made the DC Entertainment Essential graphic novels available on the Overdrive platform. So that's an app that you can use to borrow books from your local library. And I guess this group of graphic novels, essential graphic novels, includes titles such as Batman the Killing Joke, Wonder Woman Volume 1, Blood, The Sandman Volume 1, Preludes and Nocturnes, Preacher Book 1, and others. And books are going to be added on a weekly basis. That's cool.
Yeah, DC's been pretty good as far as like putting stuff out there for people to read. Like reviewers can go on, sign up for NetGalley.com and have access to read their books on there. It's mostly not, sometimes they put single issues on there for like 5 days before the release date.
Sure.
But a lot of times it's just the trades.
Right. And of course, going through libraries means that, you know, you can borrow it for free, you know, as long as you have a library card and you set up the app on your phone, but you obviously have a deadline to finish reading it before it goes back into circulation.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that is it for the news. Let me pull up one final ad read for tonight, and we'll be out of here. And again, when it's only two people, a very quick show.
That's right.
Oh, I'm doing this off of memory, but...
Oh, wait, you want me to do an ad?
Unless you got it up already.
It'll be up in a second, and I can cover... Oh, you got one?
Yeah, I got one.
There
but
you go.
Before I do that, I also want to let people know there's going to be a comic book signing at Forbidden Planet New York City next Wednesday for New Comic Book Day for an independent comic called Epilogue from a bunch of different creators, but mostly from a guy that I'm friends with on Twitter. He's the creator and writer of Epilogue, Mario Candelari. Now, so I'm going to look his last name up because I'm pretty sure I butchered it like I always do. Give me 1 second.
It's all right.
Mario Candelaria.
Okay.
Which I'll probably have him on the show at some point.
Sure.
We talk wrestling and all kinds of good stuff.
Nice.
But him and the entire creative team will be there signing. So basically, as he told me, they made the book basically for the love of making a comic, and they didn't have any notion of trying to, you know, physically print any copies of it. But then they thought, why not make some available for publishers in the New York area that support alternative comics? So that's how the signing came about.
Nice.
So go next Wednesday, April 27th, Forbidden Planet, New York City.
You got it. We'll do our best.
For Audible.com, for you, the listeners of Comic Book Chronicles, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Check out such books as The Andromeda Strain by Michael Crichton, Jurassic Park 25th Anniversary Edition by Michael Crichton, Ready Player One by Ernest Cline, and more. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/comicbookchronicles. Again, that's audibletrial.com/comicbookchronicles for your free audiobook.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, make sure to follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I am at TimDOGG98 and at CBCron. Agent 70 is at Agent_70, and follow him on Instagram at
Agent_70.
Cool. I can remember that. I know it's also at the top of the spreadsheet, but I'm not at the top of the spreadsheet right now. follow Dirt at PCN_Dirt and go to his website, popculturenetwork.com, and check out his Vine comic book reviews.
Yes. Add to the what is it, the replay count?
Yes.
Add to that replay count.
Follow Rowdy Cat at Rowdy Cat and at News Nerds Need. And shop at our Redbubble website. Buy some Comic Book Chronicles merchandise. Some merch.
Yes.
I need to order a shirt before Heroes Con now that I think about it.
I need to get that done too.
Yeah. But go to redbubble.com/people/CSPN/shop.
Nice.
And we'll be back. We'll be back next week, and then the following week we'll try to figure out what we're going to do for a show, because that is Captain America: Civil War week.
Wow!
Yes, almost done.
Unbelievable! Unbelievable! I am absolutely. I said it last week. I am absolutely in avoiding any more spoilers, trailers, commercials mode. I turn away whenever I see anything that's Civil War related.
Don't turn away. I've muted the hashtag at least, or muted enough hashtags. I've tried to.
Right. But it's tough now. Like, even just, you know, like checking your Facebook feed, you know, once in a while. Obviously, today was like a big day for news, but, you know, oftentimes you'll see just, you know, random images, and I'm like, no, go away, Civil War. I don't want to see it until the movie. So, you know, what are you going to do? Can't avoid it at some point. So, but hopefully, listen, I can't believe it's literally 2 weeks away.
It's coming.
Unreal.
I'm ready.
Yeah, same. Alrighty.
So yeah, we'll be back next week. We are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Peace.